Hello and welcome to the Meditation Conversation, the podcast to support your spiritual revolution. I'm your host, Kara Goodwin, and this is the recording from the Encore Q&A session with Isabella Green. You can hear the first live stream in episode 315. And while we loved that live stream, we didn't get to as many questions from participants as we were hoping, so this is a chance to focus on those. And we had some amazing questions, so you're going to get so much out of this episode. There's a lot of wisdom and nuanced insight in what Isabella shares. And there were times that she would say something, and I really wanted to kind of pause what she was saying and get a highlighter out to somehow really highlight what she was saying because it was so important. For instance, her perspective on the shadows that arise during the breath work. So just really look for these. There are so many gems in this episode. You're going to get a lot out of it. Isabella has some fantastic events and offerings coming up, so be sure to check out isabellagreen.com, and that's Green with an E at the end. I can't wait to see her at the Sedona Ascension Retreat next week. You can use code MEDITATION to get 10% off if you'd like to join that. And she also talks about a retreat that she has coming up at the end of May. So if you can get out to Sedona and see her live, I highly recommend that. And now enjoy this episode. Hello, everybody. So nice to have you all here. Thank you so much for joining. I hope everybody's having a wonderful Tuesday. Wait, it's not Tuesday for everybody, is it, Patty? For some people, it might be Wednesday already, right? You're joining us from the future.
Right.
Okay. So I know we will have more people rolling in here. So we'll get started. I just want to welcome everybody. My name is Kara Goodwin, and I'm the host of the Meditation Conversation. And we are live streaming this beautiful live streamed Q&A with Isabella Green for the Conscious Awakening Network. So we've got some people joining us here on Zoom. We've got others watching the streaming on the Conscious Awakening Network and on their various platforms across YouTube and Facebook and all of those great platforms. So welcome, everybody. And the purpose here today is to follow up from the last time. It was last month that we talked with Isabella. And we're going to start with Isabella, just maybe reminding us a little bit or introducing us a little bit to your work. We went into a lot of depth in the live stream, so people have access to that recording, but just a little introduction on leaving the trap and then also what we're doing today.
All right. So first of all, Kara, thank you very much for hosting this. I don't have my own platform at the moment. And so this is really, really useful for myself and everyone who wants to listen. And there are so many questions that I receive. I receive more emails and comments on all platforms than I could even read, let alone answer. So having this container is really helpful. We have somewhere around 100 people who signed up for this experience. And so we have less than a minute per person, 30 seconds per person. And so once we get to the questions, we're going to get to the questions like in a second so that I can cover as much as I can. I would like you to keep the following in mind. This is not to give a personal reading or a personal explanation of your dreams. This is something that everyone can benefit from. So I would like to invite you to, first of all, keep your questions short and to the point because Kara is going to be the one reading them so that we are to the point and I can answer straightforward and keep the questions to the point of exiting reincarnation. And with one exception, for those of you who are already doing the cosmic cobra breath and who might have questions about what happens or what's happening with you in that while you are doing this practice, this is the only exception that I would like to make as to describe and discuss in your personal experience right now, because I think everyone can benefit from that, especially those who are already doing the practice or who are considering starting the practice. So that's kind of the kind of information that is useful for everyone. But I released my book last year, early last year, and it really took off. The subject of exit reincarnation wasn't even on YouTube for like 9 months ago. Now it's everywhere. And so it seems like we tapped into the idea that everyone was sitting on for a long time. And then now we suddenly got permission to talk about it. And so people are coming out and speaking about it and considering and asking questions and questioning the whole reality and everything. And so this is, I feel this is my contribution. I feel that my purpose is to lead you out of the mundane and into exploration, meaning to explore and question things and find your own path. The spiritual kindergarten is when you say, hey, I gonna mimic what you did. What did you do? Teach me that. I'm going to mimic that. That's spiritual kindergarten from my perspective. We want to reach the level of mastery where you pay attention to what someone else did and how they arrived where they're at and how others arrived at the same goal, because we are all really focusing on the same space of liberation and freedom, getting out of the whole structure, the matrix, the limitations of the humanness that we're stuck in right here, how others did it, and then figuring out your own path. This is the mastery, because you are unique and your path is unique. So take all of the answers, take all of the practices, play with them, experiment with them, and find your own path. And that is the path that's going to work for you. So I wanted to start with that. And I think we're ready for the questions. How does it look on your end there, Kara?
Yeah, we've got some great ones coming in. And thank you for saying that too, because I feel that was really evident in your book as well, that you were like, I'm still evolving. I'm still evolving my theories and my understandings, and I'm still trying to kind of piece together what I understand. And this makes a lot of sense to me right now, and allow it to be an evolution rather than like a fixed hard and fast. Like,
no, there is no fixed hard and fast in spirituality, first of all. Secondary, I want to thank everyone who is on this call who joined my group, Exit and Reincarnation. You guys have been, my Facebook group, Exit and Reincarnation, you guys have been submitting post and material that has expanded my own awareness and also made me question or ask more questions. And I'm learning a whole lot. And I'm learning a lot through these interactions, through your questions, through the interviews that I'm giving, through what the hosts are asking. So it's a constantly developing path. And the more we share in that way, is the more we grow. So I appreciate everyone with your ideas, with your posts, with the information that you bring to me, with the questions that you bring to me. So
yeah,
let's go on with the questions then, Kara. Thank you very much for your assistance.
Yes, absolutely. So Francesca, we're going to start with you. Her first question, why do we need to become conscious and decide to not leave the trap? Decide to leave the trap or not while we're still alive? Can we not gain knowledge, consciousness, and make decisions out there?
Well, out there, that's already too late. That's my perspective. I've seen that, and you can hear that in all the stories of near-death experiences, is that once you're out of the body and you are pulled into the cycle that is the next level or the layer of the astral plane, the astral dimension around Earth, that's where the soul goes by definition. Right at the moment of when the body will let go, that's it. You really are trapped, caught into the next level of the cycle. So figuring it out now, in teaching yourself now how to consciously direct your spirit form, that is the key of my teachings. Learning how to go out of body at will so you can send yourself to the dimension that you prefer. You can send yourself where you want to go and not be just vacuumed into the dimension that is the extension of the Earth reincarnation cycle. This is why you want to learn. It's kind of exercising the muscle of going out of body. So when you die, you technically are out of body, and you already have the skill of operating that non-physical self. That's the answer.
Okay, beautiful. She also asks, is there a way to know for sure that we are completely out of the trap or still in it?
Well, if you didn't do anything in this lifetime and you jumped into the astral plane where you are interacting with the beings that are telling you you have to come back and reincarnate again, you're in a trap. If you have practiced to get past that dimension and you are experiencing the complete liberation from the limitations of all systems, then you're out of the trap. Thank you, Francesca, okay, for your questions.
Okay, Scott asks, in your experience, what are the gods and goddesses, particularly Vedic ones? Are they handlers, part of the reincarnation trap? Do mantra-based meditation techniques that use their names like TM keep us stuck here? Or are they aspects of a higher vibration form that can aid us out of the trap?
I think that the original deities, the original beings, are non-terrestrial beings who were here on Earth plane for whatever reason, and some of them were teaching humanity what to do with themselves, like Krishna was sharing Kriya Yoga and different techniques and even the breathing techniques, and giving the guidance to the humans how to transcend the whole human experience. So the original ones were the benevolent beings, and I believe that they came from outside of the Earth plane to assist humanity when that was possible back in the day. But the ones that you encounter in the reincarnation cycle and during the near-death experiences, I posit that those are the handlers posing as these beings so that you will believe what they have to say to you. That's my answer.
I'm curious with the mantra, do you see there that being? Are we going deeper into a trap if we're using these mantras that invoke these gods?
I think the mantras have a vibration, as far as I know, as far as I understand that. The mantras have a higher vibration, and the mantras help you elevate the frequency while you are in this dimension. So I don't see anything wrong with the mantras.
Okay. Could you tell for someone who practices the yogic breath in the morning or evening every day, will it be effective to wake up Kundalini after some period of time practicing?
Yes. If you do, the idea here is to do it every day. That's the only requirement. I recommend doing it in the middle of the night, but I started doing it in the morning first. First 3 years, I did it first thing in the morning. When I didn't get to first thing in the morning, once in a while, I did it in the evening. But in the evening, because you're tired and you want to sleep, and that doesn't really, I don't know, do much in the evening, but it's better than nothing. So I recommend doing it in the middle of the night. But if you do it consistently, technically, it might add a little more time, like during the morning hours. The sun is bright, and your inner chemistry in the brain is already awake. So you're not really utilizing the chemistry that's available to you internally, like your DMT production that happens in the middle of the night. You're not utilizing that if you're doing it in the middle of the day. Same if you're doing it in the morning, same as if you're doing it in the evening, because your brain is still in beta and it is something that is not conducive to to the fullness of your experience. This is why it's good to do it in the night. But if you continue doing it consistently every single day, you will just extend the period of time until you have the desired result. Unless you start doing it in the middle of the night. But it's good to do it every day, regardless of what hour.
Beautiful. How do we bypass the handlers?
Well, there is a whole thing about that in my book, but you don't. unless you have trained yourself to go out of body and learned how to handle your non-physical form while you're still alive, so you can handle it at the moment of death in the same exact way, you do not bypass the handlers. You got to face the handlers. That's a part of the reincarnation cycle. That's the part of the whole astral plane where the soul, by definition, by easy setup of the system, goes once your body lets go of that soul.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. I want to know where my son is. He died in 2015. I can feel him when I focus, but there must be more. Any advice?
I can't answer where your son is.
Okay. Francesca had one more question that I like too. Quantum travel. How can we protect the body without leaving it unattended / empty, which would allow entities to enter?
Right. So that's a great question. A lot of people ask that question, but the thing is, you only bring entities back if you're astral projecting. Astral dimension has an array of spirits that love to follow you back into your body or mess with your body if you're in the astral plane. If you bypass the astral plane, so there's a difference between going into the astral dimension, astral projecting, also all of the things, ayahuasca ceremonies and stuff, they all take you into the astral dimension. So once you are in that dimension, you are open to spirits jumping into your body. So this is why I always preach and I always recommend that you bypass, you learn how to quantum travel. You come out of the top of your head like a rocket and you end up in the space of primordial field, the void, if you wish. And that does not have any entities that is going to follow you or attack your body. And simultaneously, your frequency is so high when you are there, you come back into the body. Anything that might have crawled in, which it usually doesn't, but anything that might have crawled in, you drop back into the body with such level of frequency from the fabric of reality itself. The spirits, the lower dimensional spirits, they can't sustain that. They just get evaporated from that. So this is why I say, do not astral project, go quantum travel.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Okay.
Is there a God? What is that question right there?
God? Oh, yeah, here. Is there a God? It seems that I'm learning that we are in a simulation overruled by the demiurge. And when I look at all of the trauma that happens and has happened in the world, children abused, war, etc., it seems like it's all just the demiurge creating and feeding on Loosh.
Correct. Correct. Okay. That's the system. That's the system that's set up on this planet. This planet has this system that does not have any interest in the well-being of its subjects right here. It is called the Matrix. The Matrix is set within the dimensions that have the consciousness of feeding off of its subjects. And so that's what we have happening here. Is there God? Definitely, but not within this dimension. There's a higher consciousness that you can connect with and attain connection with and experience, but you're going to have to work for that to reach that level. Going to an institution that was put there for control, like a church, is not going to take you there. Looking at the book or the picture of someone who was an ascended soul is not going to take you there. You need to work on it to experience the state of divinity. And it's possible through these, like Kriya Yoga, Kundalini Yoga breaths, and the cosmic cobra breath takes you right there. You don't have to believe anything. You will experience God eventually if you keep doing that practice. Just that breath work and meditation alone, that's enough.
Wonderful. Okay. How likely is it to become an earthbound spirit using these methods?
I don't understand this question.
I think maybe when you pass away, how there are like maybe ghosts or...
Oh, that. Okay. That's called a disincarnate. And so if you didn't go being vacuumed into the light, the simulation of the light that we have here, that's the white tunnel thing. If you, and you didn't go into the higher dimensions because you didn't learn how to do that, now you have an option of backing off and just bouncing around the earth plane. A lot of these non-physicalized, disincarnate souls attach to the next host, and that kind of gives them an illusion that they have extended their stay on earth, but that's a miserable existence. And so it's not something that we want to even consider as an option for ourselves. You don't want to be a ghost bouncing around earth plane. I encourage you to learn the practices that will take you to the space of freedom, liberation for your soul, a return to the essence of your true self as the spirit, rather than just be stuck within the earth plane bouncing around. What difference does it make whether you have a physical or non-physical form? You'll just be subject to the same uncomfortable rules. Very similar in the non-physical spirit world around the earth plane, which is full of wars and demonic entities and lower dimensional spirits and primitive spirits, and they're all going to harass you. Same as what we have in the earth plane. So why do you want to do that? No, I don't recommend doing that, but you can, sure.
Okay. It sounded like she was wanting to not have that happen, but... Okay, Samira asks, when I do the breathing work to quantum jump, I do astral project. How to do it properly?
Hi, Samira. Nice to have you. How to do it properly, you will learn at my workshop that you're coming to in May. And if you are doing the cosmic cobra breath, you're going to learn how to go out of body. It's a natural side effect properly and not into the astral plane. How you know the difference? Do you even know the difference? The difference is that you are experiencing yourself standing in the same room, looking at your body, or in the dimensions around earth plane or locations that are similar, that are all a part of the astral plane. And there is speed there, meaning you move from one point to the next point with a certain speed. You experience the movement through space. That's astral projecting right there. You return into your body, you experience returning to your body, you float out of the body. That's astral projecting. That's something you don't want to do.
Okay, wonderful. We have one. So once you die and are in the astral, are you trapped?
Yep. Yes, you are. And there's a great chapter, by the way, in Yogananda's book that I finally got myself to, and that's where his guru, Sri Yukteswar, resurrects, so to speak, and shows up. And he tells about the structure of the matrix pretty much in that chapter. He doesn't tell about, he doesn't call it the matrix, but he says that earth plane hangs surrounded by the astral realm, and we cross incarnate back and forth, going back to astral and then back to earth plane and blah, blah, blah. And so it's a little lighter in the astral plane and it's called the heavens, but that's that. It's a part of the entrapment system around earth plane because it still has the same rules. It's a little bit lighter and more pleasant, but it's still the same rules as what we experience within this reality, judgment and punishment and not good enough and have to pay off the karma. But the truth is, the longer you're on earth, the longer you're in any space, experience and action, doing something, the more karma you have. So we're not really paying off anything. It's like the credit card. It's set up the same exact way as the credit card debt. If you make minimum payments every month, every incarnation, you just make minimum payments, your debt keeps growing. That's the same exact system And it's ironic how that credit card system is set up exactly the same as the karma system too.
Mm. So that's in, you were talking about Yogananda. Is that an autobiography of a yogi?
That what I just said about karma is what I said.
In the autobiography of the yogi okay.
is where Sri Yukteswar describes the astral plane with all its rules and the crossing over from astral to earth, from earth to astral, from astral to earth to astral is a pain of the karma.
Okay. I was just wanting to be clear because I want to go back and read that. And he's got several books. So
chapter 43.
Okay.
And the autobiography of the yogi. A lot of information in there that supports what I've experienced, what I put in my book in very simple words, in very simple explanations. But I was jumping out of my chair reading that book, reading that chapter, saying, wow, he's confirming what I observed or experienced, what I am suggesting just through my own exploration.
All right. Yeah, beautiful. Okay. Miroslav asks, will this planet ever be free? Will souls who stay here ever be free?
Hi, Miroslav. I don't know about that because it's specifically set up to run this system. So I think as long as you are within this dimension, then that dimension keeps existing and it keeps running the same system that it was set up to be. So I don't know. There is the whole idea of the new Earth or the split reality where we have the fifth dimensional Earth. Is that, from my perspective, the fifth dimensional Earth is in the astral plane, right? Or right on that, within that kind of periphery. So it will be a little better, but there is still going to be some sort of a matrix system there too. I think everything past sixth dimension is where we start experiencing more liberation. So will this planet ever be free? Okay, you can stick around for another million years and find out. or you could do the practices now and find out. And if it is free in half a million years, then you will know and you will be released. But you can get released much sooner if you do your practices. That's all that's required. Not much is required. Not much else you can do. Really. So thank you, Miroslav, for being on this call.
Beautiful. Are you familiar with Michael Newton? Patty's asking if his work aligns at all. Okay.
I have no idea. I'm not a reader. I started reading Autobiography of Yogananda's Autobiography of the Yogi after people started asking me if what I teach and what I share is Kriya Yoga. And started asking me about the yogic practices. And I knew yogic practices, but I didn't know where they come from. And so that started in 2023. Between 2014, when I started going into the quantum field of information, and 2023, so 9 years, I did not read anything at all. So everything that I put in my book is based on my personal experiences, my own spiritual exploration. So that's the answer. Yeah.
So interesting how it does retrofit with things that have been out. Like Autobiography of a Yogi is 100 years old, you know? So it's like the fact that you can go back and be like, wow, oh my goodness, this is what... And Michael Newton's, his work is interesting because he does hypnosis and talks about life between lives and things like that.
Oh, fascinating. Okay. Yeah. And I'm being told by David Icke's followers that what I teach, actually David Icke himself wrote that what I teach is straight out of his books, and I've never read any of his books. So it's really the great validation. On one hand. On the other hand, it just shows that there is a universal truth that a few different sources are tapping into sort of different ways. And I'm one of those.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. Juan is asking for confirmation that it's the technique of exiting that determines whether you enter the astral or outside of the astral.
I think so. I think that it is the technique of exiting that determines where you land the way I see it is that if you know how to operate your non-physical form, you learned it like riding a bicycle, right? But while you're alive, you're still dealing with returning to the body and dealing with the body in and out of the body. But then the body dies, but it's the same exact process and the same exact technique. You just will need to do your breathing because the breathing would stop. So you get to know yourself and operate yourself as a spirit form while alive. And you can operate that in any circumstance. If you are able to do it while you're still alive, you're most definitely going to be able to do it once the body lets go. It's going to be even much easier, actually. Right? Mm-hmm. And plus, it takes away the fear of death because you're experiencing the mini death. Get out of the body, come back, get out of the body, come back. You experience the mini death like every night. So it's really, it really is a wonderful practice. It has a lot of different benefits, but for this particular subject, that's something that teaches you what to do once your body let go of you finally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful.
And that was just recently in a documentary which is coming out in Great Britain, I think this summer, Learning to Die. And that's what they are talking about. They had me talk about that too. So yeah, we're now learning how to do this, something that has been taught for us to never look at. So
wow, I love it. I'm sorry, I'm probably going to not say your name correctly, but Johnny asks if there's anything that they can do to prepare for your retreat.
Oh, for my retreat? No, nothing. Mm-hmm. Just make sure to, and thank you for coming to the retreat. Just show up and we'll take good care of you. We're going to have a conversation. I'm going to answer your questions. I'm going to teach. I'm going to teach you the breath work. We'll practice the breath work. And then my co-pilot, Viola, will take us on the cosmic journey right there with her magical abilities to play with sound and facilitate that vibrational background for us to have our experiences. And while we have that, I'll also do the energy work, Samira. Samira just had a session with me, and she experienced something that's very close to Kundalini awakening right while I was doing the activation. And I'm going to be doing this kind of energy work for everyone as a group at the retreat as well. So we are preparing a really rich offering for you. And I don't think anyone can handle more than 4 hours of that. That's going to be more than enough for you. So I look forward to having you all.
Yeah. Can you give some logistical information in case people aren't familiar with this offering?
Yeah, they can go to my website, Isabella Green. Oh, I can never get that. I can never
other
get
way.
That right. That thing right there is Isabella Green dog. Oh, there.
There we go.
Right. IsabellaGreen.com. And under events, there is all of the information on how to pay. And that's on May 26th. We start at noon, go till 4 in the afternoon, pretty much nonstop. It's an intensive, and it's the name of the retreat is Leaving Density. The idea is to facilitate an experience for you that will take you as close as possible to tapping your toe in the possibility of your liberation as a spirit. So we'll see how it goes.
Oh my goodness, that sounds divine. I have a wedding that day, which
Thank
I'm also
you.
Looking forward to going to that wedding, but I would love to do that. So I hope you do it again.
Yes, yeah, I'm considering to start doing this regularly every couple of months. So we'll see.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, good. So Scott asks, are there different levels of cobra breath, starting with basic and getting more advanced? And in addition to cobra breath, is shadow work also needed?
Oh, yes, for sure. Oh, that's a great point. Yeah. So, yeah, there are different levels of cobra breath for sure. And different traditions have different variations of the cobra breath. There is like Sufi cobra breath. There is Egyptian cobra breath. There is a yogi cobra breath. And I don't know any of that except what I know. I just know different variations. and I will share whatever options that I know that are available at that retreat and that I know of. But good point there, because at the beginning of you start, once you begin your Cobra breath, it is a psycho-spiritual, it's a psycho-spiritual technique. It's going to show you your subconscious, and it's going to show you everything that you don't want to look at, and it's going to come up to the surface. I cried like a baby for the first 3 years, but I wasn't doing the meditations or the practices in the night. I was just scraping, clearing out my subconscious and the traumas and all of that. It comes up. You become more sensitive. You become more triggered. And for that, being more triggered, being more sensitive, it literally points to where your healing work is, where your inner work is. So it's an assistance to you. And you also are bathing yourself in the higher consciousness. Once you've gone through that, you are in the higher consciousness. So it helps to clear your traumas without going to much else except observing them and having the intention to release them. So that's a very powerful tool for the shadow work. That's all I use in my shadow work, and I still do. Still, once in a while, by now, by the way, here's the silver lining. Your ups and downs and the wobbles and all that and the emotional stuff, all that calms down significantly as you continue doing this practice, or you continue looking at your unhealed or your traumas, the conditioning, and then you process it. And then you come out of your meditation with a different choice. And you start practicing that. And then you observe that reality gets easier. Handling things gets easier. You're not triggered as much. You're not like this fine stretched nerve all the time because of all the trauma. Because the Cobra breath at the beginning of the practice helps you clear your subconscious space. And it shows it to you really, really well. You're actually going to become aware of a lot of stuff. You will remember things. For example, you know how you wake up in the morning and you don't remember your dream, right? If you do, or you just wake up to do your meditative practice, to do your Cobra breath at 3 a.m, and you just had a dream, and as you woke up, it's gone. Well, do the breath, you're going to remember your dream right there. And you're going to remember a lot of other things. And that's the benefit of that, because it helps you clean the slate so that you emotionally and energetically more prepared to that purity of everything. So yeah, great question for real. And for everyone who is embarking on this journey, some everyone who is starting to do this breath work, that's important to know. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's a great question. And thank you for the way that you frame that too, because we can, when we start to see these things that are triggering or, you know, terrible memories, or it might even feel like, oh my God, this is in me. It can be like, wait, something's wrong and I don't like this. But you frame it as this gift and it's showing you and it's guiding you. And
people, some people freak out and they say, oh, like it's making me worse than I was before. It's making me, I don't know, unhealed, right? No, it's not. It's showing what you are not able to see any longer because it's so deeply hidden in your subconscious. But it awakens these parts of the brain in you that hold these records and energetically holding these records. And it's been shown to you. And you can freak out and say, oh my God, this is making me worse, and blame the practice and all that. And that's a victim right there. Or you can sit with it and say, okay, what has been shown and what am I going to do about it? And how do I now prefer to handle myself and respond to these kind of situations and see myself and what kind of relationship I want to have with myself at this point? While I'm no longer a traumatized child and I don't want to run my mechanisms that I created when I was 6 and 8 years old any longer. I want to be the conscious human being who knows and makes a conscious choice about how you want to be. So right there, that's a side effect of this practice, and it's an incredible benefit. So you don't need to do the shadow work before the practice. The practice will make you do the shadow.
Yeah, it all goes together. It's beautiful. Miroslav asks if you visited Shambhala, that is being mentioned in ancient scriptures as a place of peace.
I have seen that, but there was a while back, 2013. In 2013, in one of the meditations, when maybe 2014, actually, when I just started doing this practice in the middle of the night, I was doing a lot of exploration of places. And I remember this kind of dark, starry road that led to, seemed like a cathedral or like the buildings, something, but ethereal, like the space of like a light city, all right? And that and just floating right in there and experiencing that incredible level of peace. I remember experiencing that. So I did see that once. I wasn't fixated on that location, but I did visit that one time that when I just started doing my practice.
I love that. Okay. Johnny asks, what are the main differences between quantum and astral realms?
In astral, you have beings, places, and it is a lot like heavenly realm that we hear about, and it's a lot like darker dimensions that we hear about. Not a lot, that's what it is that we hear about. And it's a lot like Earth. It reminds you of Earth plane, or it is the invisible layer of the Earth plane where you have plant and animal spirits and you have lower dimensional spirits, the dark dimensional spirits, the upper astral spirits, the different levels of spirits that live there, including the discarnate souls or the souls that are in between lifetimes. And then that's maybe where your son is, by the way, that lady whose son passed, maybe he is in the astral plane. I'm pretty sure if you did not go elsewhere, then that's by definition where everyone goes. So that's the astral plane. It is somewhat familiar, if you wish. The higher realms, the quantum dimensions, or the quantum plane that I talk about, I call that the void. A lot of people call it the void, the black void, the field of omnipresence, the space of the primordial field, the fabric of reality. That does not have anything at all in it, or it has sometimes some consciousness, and that's already, if we take it a hierarchy, then let's say that's the fabric of everything. And below that, not really below because it's not a space, but if we want to visualize that for our linear mind, so below that is this semi-formed beings of the light, of the higher consciousness, of the places past the sixth dimension and above. And it's a very different feeling to it. It's completely peaceful. There is no such thing as like astral wars or any sort of discomfort, distress. It's the main difference is that state of incredible level of peace that is indescribable, and perfection and peace, if you wish. And there was a question I noticed, I'm going to start doing online what I'm doing in my retreat. That's in the works, and it's just one of me and a lot of different requests and a lot of different things that are coming on my plate all at the same time. I'm right now booked all the way through, halfway through 2025, by the way. So the second book is coming too, and I'm struggling finding time to write it, but I'm just writing down all of the ideas that are coming in. So Yeah, I am planning to start teaching online, doing pre-recorded courses maybe, or pre-recorded workshops that you could download and purchase on my website that needs a different website. And so it's in the works, yeah. The demand came faster than what I was ready for, but I am doing my best to catch up right now. So something to look forward to for those who are not able to attend in person.
Wonderful. Sonia says, in Buddhism, samadhi is enlightenment. Is this the same as the samadhi that you describe?
It's the same samadhi all across. The same word. There are different levels of samadhi. There are different levels of experience. And there are levels where you still have some brain activity, where you still experience this like faint presence of your mind. But you are in the field of omnipresence, and your body is still breathing a little bit, and everything, all the functions slow down. But there is still some of you there. And there is a next level where none of that is present. There's complete silence and you completely dissolve. And there is a next level that I just experienced in December, where I was able to stop the breathing and the heartbeat and the brain, the mind. So I was able to completely disconnect or completely leave the body and go into that state of samadhi that is called nirvikalpa samadhi, that does, you don't have any humanness or self left in that space. And that is the most incredible liberated state of freedom anyone can imagine. Peace, silence, perfection, love. Not, you cannot describe. That's the Tao. That's the Tao that Lao Tzu is talking about, and Tao Te Ching. And so there are different levels. These are the three that I've experienced, and then I can talk about, because that's based on what I have experienced. But the yogic teachings give all different levels of samadhi too. It is enlightenment. It is technically enlightenment, because you get to see firsthand, experience the fabric of everything, the fabric of reality, God or spirit or the primordial field or whatever you want to call it, but you're changed forever. One time is enough to be changed forever, but you don't have to have it only once. I just worked with someone who said he experienced that once and was riding that way for 10 years, but not doing anything to experience it again. And then it just like wore off because of all of the earthly stuff. And that's what's going to happen. But you can have it every night. Doesn't happen to me every night, but happens to me regularly enough, a couple times a week, a few times a month. And that sustains you beyond anything else in the earthly plane. So yeah, different levels of samadhi, enlightenment is the same thing.
Beautiful. Anastasia asks, so if this barrier shield exists around planets that are part of a 3D matrix, does this mean that when the planet moves to higher dimensional frequency above 5D, the barrier shield disappears?
That logically means that, yeah, I would imagine that, because that grid or that some say firmament or that glass ceiling around each planet that is within a certain dimension, that is only a part of that dimension. So while you are between three, probably below, but I only know between 3.1D, right, third dimension, all the way till 4.9, and the fifth dimension is a gray area. I'm not gonna comment on that, but past that, you're not, no one needs to keep you in that space anymore. So there's no encasement of any sort anymore. Yeah, that's correct.
Thank you. So for the cobra breathing, is there music that you recommend?
I get the music from Barry Goldstein. Barry Goldstein has fantastic meditative music on his website. And that's all he does. And you can go and look that up, and it's available for purchase. There are some of his, like, you might have like an entire album that is just that. All you need to do is just take that album and play it. And there are pieces of music that he offers that are 15 minutes long, which is perfect for the length of the cobra breath that you're doing at the beginning of your practice. So you put that song at the beginning and you're doing 15 minutes of breath. And once that song is over, you know that you can be done doing the breath. And then you just sit, and he has these really long pieces of music as well that you can listen to and compile it together, make a playlist for yourself so that it's a no-brainer. And don't stream it while on the internet. Just download these so you have it on the device, so you don't have to have your internet on while you're doing your practice. That's what I recommend. And yeah, his music is something that I've been using.
Am I right in thinking that during the cobra breath, we may experience thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, at the beginning, you will experience thoughts. But what the cobra breath does is, if you keep doing it, so as you start, you will have thoughts. 3 minutes into, you haven't thought. 6 minutes into, you haven't thought. 15 minutes into, your brain is so saturated with all of the fluids and the energy that you're bringing into the brain with this practice that very often it blacks you out, no more thoughts. So it's a technique that helps to shut down the thinking brain. That's another benefit of that.
Okay, wonderful. In what dimension would we find God, as in God is not in this dimension?
That's the question that is not possible to answer, because there is no such thing as God dimension or what dimension? What? You want me to say, oh, 9th dimension or 8th dimension or 22nd dimension or whatever, all these like new age BS stuff bringing us? No. You know what? What you experience is the God dimension of like the field of omnipresence. That's what you experience. You experience when you're doing this practice. And that's it. That's your final destination right there.
Beautiful. Maya asks, do our relatives...
It's a bond right there. Oh, it's a bit so well. Oh, thank you for joining. I did not expect you on this train of thought at all. Oh, my love to you, dear friend. It's a friend from still from New York City, from like life a long time forgotten.
Oh my goodness. I love that.
All right.
Thank you for joining. So Maya asks, do our relatives on the other side remember us, or do they get reincarnated and mind wiped?
It's an interesting thing, because even when they do get reincarnated, there is some aspect of them that continues to interact with us. And don't ask me how that works. I don't understand that myself. But I have talked to souls, relatives. Sometimes in sessions, people ask me, oh, what happened to my father? I want to get a message from my father, for example, who died like 15 years ago. Usually the souls are pushed back into reincarnation cycle within like 3, 4, 5 years. So they're back in the reincarnation cycle already. And sometimes they tell me this, I reincarnated already. I am this 15-year-old boy right now in, I don't know, Idaho. My name is blah, blah, blah. Or they don't give a name and just say I'm in this family, in these circumstances. But I'm sending great love to my son. And here is the answer to his question. Or here is the message for him. And how that works, I don't know. Because it's simultaneously that the soul can be reincarnated elsewhere, but still have the love and presence and guidance for the loved ones from the previous lifetime.
Mm. Oh, that's fascinating. Beautiful. Do you have time for one bonus question?
Of course. It's a, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Because this is, I think you'll like this. Iwan asks, I recall you saying that there are many realms that have reincarnation traps. Assuming that we were once free/not imprisoned in this realm, what is to stop us from becoming trapped in a different realm once we free ourselves from this one? For example, ignore all distress calls from any realm you're able to pick up.
Well, I think that is something that you as a soul will decide for yourself, because again, when I do personal sessions, this question is often asked, like, why did I come to Earth? Why did I do this to myself, right? So very often the answer that comes is, oh, you wanted to explore. You wanted to have an adventure. You felt that you were strong enough to handle whatever circumstance. You didn't think you were going to get stuck. Or you didn't even have any idea that you were going to get stuck. Or you answered the distress call and you had this notion that you want to go and assist. So whatever you decide for yourself as a part of that bigger structure of your soul, wherever you land after this incarnation, that's going to be up to you. I don't have the answer to this question. Except here's an idea. The ascended master, ascended souls, like Jesus, for example, right? He had a choice. He had a choice to come in and get out. And he's not hanging out in the afterlife dimension greeting everyone. That's the handlers simulating him. But ascended master souls, as far as I understand it, have a choice to come in and get out. What we're teaching here, what we're sharing here, what we're learning here is how to get out. So if you have learned how to get out in this super dense simulation situation, then just bring that into the next one if you end up in the next one and do the same thing. So that could be something like a useful tool to have in case you find yourself in another simulation similar to Earth plane.
Mm, I love that. It really brings a quantum perspective in terms of, like, are there aspects of us already who know how to do this too that we can, like, draw into, you know, nice kind of thought experiments. You know?
Yeah. And if we take it to the next level and say that everything is happening simultaneously and there are expressions of you in higher dimensions and there is all is one is really the banner for we are all the same energy, made of the same energy, the same fabric of reality, then there are all kinds of levels of that, right? Of awareness that we can draw upon into this body vehicle. But this body vehicle is like a freaking fortress to get through to, right? Like, there's that, and you're knocking, and you're shaking the bars of your cage, and you're trying to get through, and it's not working. So for it to work, even for you to draw upon your karmic gifts, let's say stuff that you learned in the previous incarnation, or stuff that your soul knows as a multidimensional being somewhere else, right? As you what your multidimensional soul knows as a being somewhere else, or what's written in the quantum field that is knowledge available simultaneously to everyone at the same time without any linearity right there, all knowledge available all at the same time in this space that creates and sustains the world. But to get to it, you need to do some Kriya Yoga. Well, to get to it, you need to do some Raja Yoga. You need to control the computer brain right here, that plugs you right into the matrix and that separates you from everything that you know as a soul. So right back to square one. Practice every day. Do your stuff and have a strong intention and approach it from a perspective of curiosity, playfulness. What might happen tonight? You know, and just go ahead and do that. And I think you'll be on the right track then.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Isabella. This has been such a rich discussion. And thank you, everybody, for all your questions. These have been incredible questions. And really so grateful to everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you for showing up. Thank you, Kara, for holding space and making this possible. And thank you, everyone, for exploring and being the fellow sovereign soul, ideally, in the long run. Lots of love to you all.
Thank you so much. Bye, everybody.